Glad you're awake now.
Thank you so much, Everthirst. I brought back good memories and times to sing. One of the things I learned from one of my youth, Danny Smith, he loved a game. And I don't know whether I taught it to Lauren when she was a little girl, but she became an avid advocate for this game. This game is that you make your fingers like this. Now, the rules are that you have to put them against your body somewhere below your belt. But if you do that, then someone, if they see that sign, must put their finger in it before you can slug them. But if you don't, you get slugged in the arm. And let me tell you, my little granddaughter could slug very hard. It kind of leads to how we deal with things as we get into a perfect chapter for this time, as we work our way back through Romans from the ending to the beginning. We find ourselves today in chapter 2 with this question: why are we so quick to judge one another? I mean, we find excuses for our own behavior. And I was thinking about this, and especially during this COVID isolation, I think there are some factors that foster that isolation in our thinking. Because we're sequestered from one another, we don't have as much interaction with other ideas, with other people, as we once did. It's easier for us to self-justify our own positions and be less open to listening to other thoughts and ideas. You see, we as people find it easy to become narrow-sighted when we only hear what we think. But somehow it's been, as I said earlier, the diversity of our country that has opened us up to such new ideas. And now, we need to heal. And Paul tells the Roman house churches that that is the time for them to heal the divisions between Gentiles and Jews, to heal the disagreements with whether they capitalize on the Jewish laws of eating and of behavior, or whether they can continue in their Gentile forms and how they can get along in doing that. So let me read just a short 5-verse passage today in chapter 2 of Romans. Paul writes to the Romans, and he is pretty electric in this one. Therefore, he says, you have no excuse, whoever you are, when you judge others. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, are doing the very same things. You say, we know that God's judgment on those who do such things is in accordance with the truth. Do you imagine, whoever you are, that when you judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience? Do you not realize that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But by your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. May God bless his reading of the word. Will you pray with me, Lord God, as I attempt to understand the power of Paul's words to this fledgling church in Rome. May it also help open our eyes to how we are called to be with one another, and particularly with those with whom we disagree. And help us, God. Help us to heal brokenness. Help us to put a priority in our own lives and hearts on love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You see, most of us tend to categorize sins into two categories. My sin and your sins. Of course, when I do that, I think your sins are so much worse than mine. And since there is that tendency in our lives, we need to think about Paul's words today and the ways that we can exhibit this tendency to condemn the sins of others without recognizing the seriousness of our own sin. You see, we become blind to our own sin. One of the best scriptural examples of this is when the prophet Nathan comes to David to confront him about his sin with Bathsheba. Nathan describes how David, a rich man, took a poor man's only lamb to prepare a meal for his guest. And when David's anger was kindled against such a man for taking the little that one person had, when he had so much already, he said, "You, David, are that man." How many of us can point the finger back at ourselves? With this tendency of ours to be blind to one another's perspectives. You see, we have a tendency to ignore our own sins, but we have no problem in recognizing the sins of another person. Also, we kind of rationalize our sins, don't we? We think our sins are little sins, white lies, not big ones. So, when we say other people lie, we might say, "Well, I just stretched the truth a little bit." Or we might say other people steal, say, "Well, okay, sometimes I borrow something and I forget to return it." But that's not really stealing. Other people have an anger problem. I'm just letting off a little steam. Other people are prejudiced. But I have convictions. You see, we even take gossip and sometimes call it a prayer request. Oh, I'm just doing it for their own good. If you've never done any of these things, none of these things seem to come quickly to mind to you, then I guess this sermon is for anyone else but you. But if you have, Paul's words at the beginning of this second chapter of Romans are relevant to our life and a message that we need today. A message that is for us. The Bible has a term. The term is self-righteous people. And those people tend to be the hardest to come to a full understanding of the gospel because they believe they're so good in and of themselves, they don't need to repent. They don't need to come to the healing of Christ's sacrifice. They don't need repentance because they live above it. But Paul, here dealing with the dangers of judging others without recognizing the sin in our own lives is really denying a problem. We need, as people, to constantly live in a mode of repentance before a righteous God. There are things that can help us in this passage. There are three related terms. The first is a Greek word called krino. It means to judge. It means to divide and separate. That's what it means. And so we tend to distinguish, divide our ideas from your ideas. But Paul also talks about the judgment of God twice in this passage. And that judgment he uses here is derived from that word, krino, to judge. The word is a compound verb built on krino. It means to judge against. And it's not surprising that the verb to judge is in the present tense. It's something that's happening now. Judging others engaged in that practice. And maybe to this community, one of the issues in the Roman church was that they had a tendency to judge one another. But how true is that today? Democrats judge Republicans, Republicans judge Democrats. But Paul says, when we judge others, we need to turn that back on ourselves. Because when we judge others, we prove that we have no excuse. And quite frankly, it says in Scripture that no one is free from sin. No one is able to live a perfect life. So every one of us does not have an excuse for some of the things that we do. He says, if the Jews considered, if those that considered the Jews to be heathens, then they had no excuse for their sin. And the Jews sure couldn't claim that they had any excuse. I mean, the great temple with all of its sacrifices led to the need for people to repent their sin. The same is true for all of God's people. We need to look, but when we judge others, we prove that we don't really understand God. We have blinders on to what we do. People had no problem recognizing that God was just, but that the point that Paul's making in verse 2 when he writes that we, including himself and other Jews, know that the judgment of God falls on those who practice such things. See, self-righteousness is kind of an easy sin to slip into. Self-righteousness was what the Jews were doing to the Gentiles and the Gentiles doing to the Jews. And God says no one will escape the punishment that they deserve. In Exodus 34, verses 6 through 7, it says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the faithfulness and steadfastness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Do you realize that the little things that we do start a ball rolling through the generations that keep driving people further away from God. And rather than focus on God's justice, which is so easy to think about, we forget about His kindness. We forget about how much God has forgiven us. And so we forget about forgiving one another. You see, God exercised great patience throughout the Old Testament with the Israelites, throughout the New Testament with the people that spat on Jesus and ignored His love. Through the passions of our lives, we sometimes ignore the kindness that we want to experience in our lives and want to be visual signs of God's kindness in this world. So when we judge others, we don't become more righteous. In fact, it just heightens the hypocrisy of us facing our own sin. Someone once wrote a definition of a hypocrite. He said, a hypocrite is someone who complains that there is too much sex and violence in his DVD collection. Isn't it interesting how often Scripture points back to us like a mirror? It's not making someone else look less righteous by comparison. That's not the way we become righteous before God. We do it by contrition. We do it by lowering the political temperature, loving one another for our differences as well as for our similarities. When I judge others, I presume on God's kindness to me. Bill Barnes has a lot to come that would come under judgment. I'm not always kind. I have my moments of heat. I have my presumptions on life. And God, through His Word, continues to call me back to keep an open mind. There's a word that is translated kindness in this passage. It means literally to furnish what is needed. So kindness lowers the temperature. Kindness provides for one another. That's why my license plate for some time had, when you're headed in the wrong direction, God allows U-turns, because I needed to read it every day. And you remember the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son didn't repent when he thought about his own badness, but rather when he remembered the goodness of his father. Some of us can get obsessed with looking at ourselves in the mirror and judging ourselves. And part of the process is to take our sight off ourselves and look to God. Look to what Jesus did for us. Take a breath and then live that way. God allows U-turns. That's what repentance is. Saying, I want to be different. I want to go another way. And to remember that when we judge others, we are storing up God's wrath on us. Because if we recognize how much God has forgiven us, it is a judgment unless we do likewise to those who are different than us, who have different perspectives. We are called to live a life that is constantly repenting. So if I focus on my sin rather than others' sins. If I ask God with every fiber of my being to know that I can deserve nothing of his kindness, his forbearance, his patience, but he offers it to me, then I have to do the same for one another. If I, on the other hand, think, yeah, I'm doing okay. I mean, you know, I don't live as bad a life as so-and-so. I'm doing pretty well. I love God and I care about him, and my self-righteousness might get in the way of me understanding the perfect righteousness of God and the work that Jesus did dying on the cross on my behalf. You see, Paul's telling us right here, we need to get along. So, Lauren, when you put that down, I can't count the number of times I couldn't get my finger in it before you slugged me in the arm. And I don't know, it's easier to hit than it is to love, but your laughter at that healed any of your slugs as strong as you were. And in fact, it reminds me of how much fun and love we had. And I hope that now that the political race is over with, healing can begin between the two parties, because we both share ideas that will help our nation with one another, who we have theological, political, and even physical differences with. Because that's going to be necessary to remember God's love for each one of us. Amen?